receive his word. Father, we just so thank you so much for the privilege, for the opportunity to increase our faith, to develop in our faith, to receive tools, teachings, Holy Spirit technology about how to have a fully functioning faith, and faith that will experience victory and overcome every circumstance and obstacle that the enemy puts in our way, in our pathway, and Father God, supernaturally see Satan's dominion or trying to be deceptive in our lives wane and disappear. We thank you for being the Lord, for being the author and the developer of our faith. And we thank you, Father God, that your word will not return void. Our hearts are open. Our mind is alert and receptive to receive revelation, instruction, impartation for truths that we will bring about implementation in our lives in Jesus' name. We covenant to give you all of the credit, honor, glory, esteem, adoration, and appreciation and thanksgiving. All praise belongs to you, Lord. You're worthy to be praised. And we thank you for the anointing of the Holy Spirit that shall destroy and obliterate every yoke of bondage in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. All right, turn to Romans chapter 3. Romans chapter 3. Romans chapter 3, verse 21 through 31 again. Today, we're in our series, we're talking about living by faith. Now, I really need you to pay attention and take notes today because today's subject is entitled Faithful. So how do you know if your faith is fully functioning, fully working? How do you know it's following God's prescribed perfect pattern and process? And it's so important to learn and know these things as that we're going to discuss today and show you through the word. Because I believe that one of the biggest imperatives in life, besides walking in love, is walking in faith. What do we need to do, Pastor, in these days, these last days? Everybody needs to be diligently living in the royal law of love. Because love is the greatest motivator. It is what causes things to be profitable and productive in your life. Faith works by love. But secondarily, or even 1B, you would say, 1A is love, 1B is faith. But you've got to be a good steward of your faith walk or your faith life. Your faith needs to be fully functional. So we're calling this message today Faithful. Faithful. So Romans chapter 3, verse 21 through 32, it says, but now the righteousness of God, apart from the law, is revealed, being witnessed by the law and the prophets, even the righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ, to all, and on all who believe. For there is no difference. It says in verse 23, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God has set forth as a propitiation by his blood. That means faith in his blood. That were previously committed to demonstrate at the present time his righteousness, that he might be just and the justifier of one who has faith in Jesus. Now, that's the second time we see faith in Jesus mentioned. Verse 27, where is boasting then? It is excluded by what law? Of works? No, but by the law of faith. Therefore, we conclude that a man is justified by faith, justified just means being declared righteous apart from the deeds of law. Now, religion is majorly focused on your works and your efforts and your performance. When you think my performance is down, then my relationship with God is horrible, then you're misguided in your focus. That's not faith. That's legalism. That's works. Amen. Verse 29, for is he the God of the Jews only? Is he not also the God of the Gentiles? Yes, the Gentiles also. Verse 30, since there is one God who will justify the circumcision by faith and the uncircumcised through faith, how are you going to be justified? How are you going to be declared righteous with God? How are you going to be given a good position with the Father? How are you going to have a status of full legal rights to everything that God has provided and everything God has promised? Excuse me. Everything God has provided and promised is your full legal rights by faith. Because some people think, well, I got to work to get healed. Got to earn my healing. I don't deserve to prosper because my income's low or I've made too many bad mistakes. I got too much debt. All right. Verse 31, do we then make void the law through faith? Certainly not. On the contrary, we established the law. So we talked about last week what is faith, so I'm going to give you a brief synopsis of what is faith again, just to remind us all. We see faith is not a movement. We saw faith was not a movement. Faith is just not a fad or a wave or type of denomination. Some people might ask, well, what faith are you? No, that's not what I'm talking about. These verses describe faith as a law. Faith is a law. It is a spiritual law. It's one of the highest spiritual laws, if not the highest. Faith is a law. And you know what happens when you break the law in the natural? You could get arrested. You could get a citation. You could be imprisoned or legally brought to court for a lawsuit. So you got to think about it in that vein, that a spiritual law has been established before any of us were ever born. And it's the law that God operates with. It's the law that God used to create the universe with. The law of faith. Faith is a principle, and there are principles to the law of faith to practice. There are principles and patterns to practice or implement and operate the law of faith. What does that do? It enables you to activate, it enables you to access and appropriate your better covenant, and that is established upon better promises. Now, you don't have a relationship with God that's casual or just confusing. Now, religion is confusion. Legalism is confusing because it'll tell you you got to keep 618 laws. That's how many laws there were in the Old Testament under the law of Moses. 618. None of us can't remember 618, much less count up to 618. I know we can count up to 618, but you know what I mean. You know, trying to remember 618 commandments is hard. But we have a better covenant. Everybody say better covenant. Established upon better promises. See, love is the greatest motivator, but listen to me very closely, dear friends. Faith is the greatest activator. You can have benefits, you can have blessings lined up to the gills. But it's your faith, my sister, that activates those blessings, that activates those benefits. You can have a benefits card in your wallet, so to speak, from the kingdom of heaven, said this is what all you got. Now, how many do you have? Now, in the better covenant, it is said that there's over 3,000 promises. because you get all the promises and benefits from the Old Testament plus the New Testament. You got 3,000 that cover anything and everything you will ever need, want, or desire in this life. Now, ignorance is the big enemy, because if you don't know what you have, you don't release your faith to receive what's been given to you. Oh, you need to write that down. If you don't know what you have, you won't release your faith to receive and take what's been given to you. If you got 3,000 exceeding great and precious promises given to you, then your faith needs to be working with God and faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and his finished works to get it, not based on your merits or your muscle. It's based on the master, what he has done. Faith in him. Faith in Jesus. Faith in his finished works. So that takes you away from making all the excuses or giving explanations why I can't get this, why I can't get healed, why I can't prosper, how come my family is always going to be jacked up, how come all my relationships going to be leave me as the victim. No, that takes away that excuse, because people want to give an excuse for why they can't have it. And if you're a child of God, you should be appropriating, you should be activating and accessing your covenant with God. You have a covenant. Everybody say, I have a covenant with God. It's a covenant sworn and ratified and sealed in the blood of Jesus. Look at this, 2 Corinthians 2:1:20. For all the promises. How many of them? All the promises of God are in him, yes. So if you go through all 3,000, I think there's 3,050-something. I don't know the exact number, so I apologize. I don't know exactly, but it's somewhere around there. All the promises of God are in him, yes. And in him, amen. So what does that mean? You say, Lord, can I have this? What is his predetermined, premeditated answer? God's premeditated answer is what? Yes. And amen means what? So be it. What did Jesus say on the earth? According to your faith, so be it unto you. Hallelujah. Somebody got that. Hallelujah. He said, and him, amen, to the glory of God through us. And when we receive, it gives glory to God. How good God is. How faithful he is. How honoring and holy he is. See, us receiving from God glorifies him and magnifies the better covenant. So when people try to compare religions, Christianity is not a religion, it's a relationship. But, some people categorize it that way. But, when they say, well, people start looking at, you actually talk to God? You actually get things from God? You actually see God move on your behalf? Hallelujah. Somebody say, glory to God. So how important is faith to activating and accessing your salvation covenant benefits and blessings? Now, remember, we said this. We are to walk in or live in love. Ephesians 5, 1 and 2 tells us that. We are to imitate God. God is love. He's a love God. He's a loving Heavenly Father. We have a loving Lord Jesus. They operate out of love. We are to imitate that. Mimic that. We are to walk in love as Christ also walked in love and gave himself to us. So your lifestyle should be giving yourself to other people. What do you give them? Your time, your talent, your treasure, your testimony. Now, the world's culture says give all that to yourself. Build your brand. Build your business. Build your name up. Amen. We're supposed to deny ourselves, take up our cross, and follow him. It's not about us. It's about him. Amen. Love is a commitment and covenant with him. All right. But we also walk by faith. 2 Corinthians 5:7 says, for we walk by faith, not by sight. So we shared last week that we all live 24/7, 365. We all agreed to that, right? How many days of the year last year, 2020, did you live? 365 days a year, the year. 200, none of us are in heaven yet. I still see you. Hallelujah. But you got to remember, the scripture says how we live is we're supposed to live by faith. I remember, you know, Mark Hanks used to always talk about hunting duck, white-tailed duck, and it's a sense of smell. It's how it lives the most. Now, he said he might hear you, white-tailed buck, three times. He's trying to figure out what's going on over there. And his ears come up when you're hunting. And then he said they might smell you twice. They might hear you three times to try to distinguish what's going on. Or they might see you twice and try to figure out what's moving in over there. But if they smell you one time, that means they depend on their sense of smell more than anything else. If they smell you one time, that white tail comes up and they're gone. We as children of God are to live by faith. That means our faith sense should be our greatest sense. Now, most people live by feelings. Unfortunately, we shouldn't be relegating our lifestyle to how we feel. Some people live by their flesh, the impulses, cravings, desires, and appetites of their flesh. We shouldn't let our flesh drive us, because Jesus said in our flesh dwells no good thing. He said if you're in the flesh, you can't please God. And as a Christian and as a child of God, if you're born again believer, then you should be endeavoring to please God. You don't please God with your personality or your body or your flesh. God says, give me your body and let me use it. But we're supposed to be living by faith. Everybody say live by faith. Amplified says it this way, for we walk by faith and we regulate our lives and conduct ourselves by our conviction or belief respecting man's relationship with God and divine things. And we trust with trust and holy fervor. Thus we walk not by sight or appearance or appearances. We can say we're not supposed to be responding and reacting and living by what we see and feel first. Last week we said faith is what pleases God. You can cry all day. You can have bad mood swings, and your feelings can be like a roller coaster all the time. But God's only touched by your feelings. He's not moved and motivated by your feelings. God cares about your feelings, but what faith is what moves God. Faith is what gets God off his seat and says, oh, I'm excited now. I'm pleased. Hebrews 11:6 says, but without faith, it's impossible to what? Please him. And like we said last week, without faith, just stop at the word impossible. It is impossible. Can you get healed? Without faith, it's what? Can you prosper? Without faith, it's what? Can you find the type of mate or future spouse that your heart desires? Without what? Faith is what? Now, you can deal around. You can dole around in the flesh and try to depend on your feelings, but, man, you'll get messed up. Well, I won't charge you for that. I'm just putting that out there for free. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Can your kids ever come back to the Lord and serve God? Without faith, it's what? See, you can try to control things by fear, fear and control tactics all you want to, but without faith, it's what? Impossible. It's impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. So how and when is God not pleased? How and when is God not pleased? When we are not receiving, when we are not experiencing victory, when we are not overcoming, amen, God is pleased when we are receiving the gifts and graces that he has given and provided for us in the new covenant. He's pleased when we receive what he's already provided and promised. He promised by his stripes ye were healed. Heaven has a health care plan that covers everything you need and have to have physically, mentally, emotionally, spiritually, and financially. Someone say glory to God. God is pleased when we're overcoming and experiencing personal, private, and public manifested victory. Everybody loves, we all know sports in the context of when you win or lose. Everybody loves it when you win, especially when you're on the team that wins. You're so happy. But think about God. God is on the winning team, and he's saying, let's win. And he's pleased when you personally are winning. How are you winning? When you're receiving, my brothers and sisters, when you're overcoming, when you're experiencing personal and private and public victory. That means that situation that always was a weakness or a challenge in your life, you overcome that. You get victory over that. It could be a simple thing like a fear of something. You know, let's just pick fear of heights or fear of flying. Once you overcome that and receive your permanent deliverance, which was already provided and promised, your permanent deliverance from fear of heights and flying, God is pleased now because you've now been delivered from that fear or phobia. Let's bring it more in a contemporary context. Some people are in fear about vaccine or no vaccine. Virus or going to catch the virus. When you overcome that fear, I'm not saying it's not real. No, I'm never saying that, because people have died. People have gotten it. People are dealing with it and deciding upon it. But we always tell people, never do it out of fear. Even if you wear a mask, don't be afraid wearing that mask. Because that what you fear is going to be attractive to what the enemy has planned for you. And he has plans for killing, stealing, and destroying. Are you listening to me? Amen. If your job requires it, or if you feel in your conscience that to take the virus, you've heard good or bad or ugly things about it, whatever side you're on, you don't get in fear about it. You stay in faith about it. Psalms 91. Because I've made the Lord my refuge, even the Most High my habitation, no evil shall befall me. No sickness or disease, virus or plague shall come near and affix itself in my physical body. No plague or virus or disease shall manifest in my physical body in the name of Jesus. God's pleased when you take his medicine and believe in his medicine more than God's medicine. The world's medicine. Isn't that good? See, all that our Father God has provided and promised through our Lord Jesus Christ will go unattained and unenjoyed unless and until we, by acting upon the word and activating the word by faith, take it. Now, you got to remember this. Satan has always postured to take your faith. That's why this message is entitled Faith Full, F-U-L-L. Are you really full of faith? Is your faith really functioning? Because if he can get your faith, he can get your victory. If he can get your faith, he can cause you to never overcome the obstacles and the hard opportunities that appear in your life and challenge you in your life. If he can get your faith, he can keep you from receiving what God has provided and promised to and for you through the covenant. Now let's look at practicing a perfect pattern of faith. It's very simple, but I want you to really listen to this. Because let me talk about, the Bible has a lot to say about pattern. Number one, the big overarching theme is God always operates on a pattern based on a principle. Principle, as we said, is spiritual law. Now, I'm not trying to get too deep or anything, but God always operates on a pattern. So his laws are predictable. His patterns are clear and defined, clearly defined. Now, what we get off is we go outside of God's pattern. We step out of line with his principle. Hence the word faithful. You got to stay in faith. You got to make sure your faith is fully operating. Okay? Everybody see this? All right. One reference scripture is Romans 6:17. It says, "For God be thanked through you, though you were slaves of sin, yet you obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered. You were delivered." This is a pattern of teaching or doctrine or truth. Now, we studied this last fall when we talked about Paul's system of truth. We looked at the 8 systems of teaching that every believer should be grounded in. What happens when you have bad doctrine? It's going to yield 2 things: lack of respect and lack of restraint. When you got a bad belief system, you got a faulty belief system based on teachings that you've embraced that are not scripturally solid and scriptural truth, then it's going to manifest in you just like yeast does to flour and water. It's going to make you, it's going to blow you up with lack of respect and lack of restraint. Jude talks about it, Peter talks about it, but this scripture is talking about the system of teaching, system of doctrinal truth. Somebody say glory to God. Hallelujah. So you need to be grounded in that system. Somebody said an acronym for system is it saves you stress, time, energy, money. If you operate in a bad system, biologically, there's 8 major systems in your human body, like the respiratory system, like the digestive system, circulatory system, pulmonary system. The system is slacking, your health will be lacking. If the system is slacking your health, in other words, they use a medical term called atrophy. In other words, it will be arrested in development. It will decline. It will worsen. It will rotten. It will ruin. In other words, if you don't have the right teaching and the right doctrine in you, then the right things won't be manifesting from you. Lack of respect is just basically, I don't honor anything. I don't honor my body. I don't honor my money. I don't honor God. I don't honor my leaders. I don't honor my parents. I live with a lack of respect for anything or anyone else. The lack of restraint is just simply this. That means any temptation, I am easily succumb to it. If I'm tempted to worry, I just worry. I just fall right in the trap of worry. If I'm tempted to be afraid and walk around with fear and anxiety, then I do it. It's no problem because I have no restraint. if it's sexual sin and immoral behavior, if I'm tempted to do it, I just do it because I can't help myself. If I'm tempted to cuss and use profanity and say all kind of negative words and gossip and be a potty mouth, I have no discipline in my speech. It's always root caused back to what? Bad doctrine. So this is a system. This is a perfect pattern. That means teaching and being in church under sound biblical teaching is so critical, so vital. And you got to hear it. You got to receive it. You got to walk in the light of it. Somebody say, praise the Lord. I'm preaching real good. Nobody's saying anything. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Preach it, Pastor. Now let's look at these four scriptures. Romans 12:2. Don't be conformed to the world, this age, fashioned and adapted to its external superficial customs, but be transformed, changed by the entire renewal of your mind, by its new ideals and new attitude. How many know it's different than the world? You can't watch a whole bunch of TV and do things in that are worldly based and have a godly thinking. He said, why do you do this? So you may prove for yourself what is good, what is the good, the acceptable and perfect will of God, even the thing which is good and acceptable and perfect in his sight for you. You know, I knew even in college, when I graduated from college, you know, that we, the Lord had called, my wife and I to get married, and of course, then the military. And we both were busy because we both worked jobs our senior years in college, and we both had responsibilities within different academic departments and within our classes and stuff like that. And so, you can't just do anything and everything you want. Because the will of God for you is not to get involved in everything and anything. And like I said before, the devil either makes you bad or he keeps you busy. So you never are available to God, for God to work through and work in and work on. Somebody say glory to God. Ephesians 4:23, and be constantly renewed in the spirit of your mind, having a fresh mental and spiritual attitude. Philippians 4:8, finally, my brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are noble, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things of a good report, if there be any virtue or be any praise, anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. Colossians 3:2, Amplified, set your minds and keep them set on what is above, the higher things. Everybody say the higher things, not on the things of this earth. See, these scriptures, these four powerful scriptures, there's more, but these four powerful scriptures outline patterns of thought or thinking. In other words, I got to think about what I'm thinking about. Am I thinking about what these four scriptures are outlining for me? This is what should be functioning in our minds. Now let's get to the perfect pattern of faith. How do we activate, access, and appropriate the new and better covenant? James chapter 1 says it this way. I'm reading out of King James. James 1:2, count my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations. Knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. But let patience have her perfect work. Look at verse 4. That you may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. And if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, who giveth to all men liberty and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. In other words, I don't know how to do it. I don't know what to do right now. I don't know how to access my covenant right now, because I know God has a covenant with me. I have a covenant with God. I know that God has made provision and promised me deliverance, safety, health, salvation, deliverance, hallelujah, whatever I need in the situation I'm in right now. How do I access my covenant? If I don't know what to do, if I don't know when to do, and if I don't know why I'm supposed to do what I'm supposed to do, if I don't know how to do, I need to ask for wisdom. Because he said, if any man lacks wisdom, let him ask of God. But he said, let him ask how? In faith, nothing wavering. When you get into circumstances, you need to put up the sign over your door, over your bedroom. No wavering allowed. Don't run around running your mouth saying, I don't know what to do. I don't know what we're going to do. You know, devil's a meanie. He's always going to throw oddballs and curveballs at you. Oddballs are people. Anyway, trying to keep y'all laughing. Y'all so serious this morning. All right. So he said, he that waves the sea driven with the wind and taunt, let that man think that he shall receive anything from the Lord. So when you waver, you can't think that you're going to get anything from God. You can have 50 hands laid on you. You can have all kinds of prayers prayed for you. But if you lie wavering, that means vacillating. That means doubting. That means one time you're in faith, the other time you're in frustration. The one time you're in faith, the other time you're in your feelings. One time you're in faith, and the next time you're in your flesh. You're back and forth. Don't even think that you're going to get anything. Is it a double-minded man is what? Unstable. In how many ways? So instability and mature or perfected faith is not consistent. It's not synonymous. So if you're instable, your faith is not full. Hallelujah. Now, what's the steps? I got six steps, so you can write these down, or I think I have them for you. Right now. First one is hear the word. Remember, we said the first word has to have first. We need to hear the word. We need to be deliberate and wisely discern about why, about what you view and listen to. Because if you hear the report, if you hear people that don't know any better but just want to tell you like it is, if you're hearing the news that may be negative, you're not going to hear the word clearly enough. You got to hear the word. The word has to take first place and be final authority. The word has to be first place. That mean, in other words, what does it mean by first place? The first thing you go to listen to and look at is what? The word. What does the word say about this? Hear the word. Why? What you hear the most will shape what you believe. I'm not for or against anything the politicians have said or their rhetoric. You know, they opened up Texas. They said, you're not required to wear a mask. We were out yesterday. We just got back in town late Friday. Had a great time. Thank God we didn't have to wear a mask once. But praise God. Got back, went to the store. Everybody's got masks on. Everybody's still in fear. Now, again, I'm not for or against anybody's position or personal preference or posture. But I'm just saying the principle. I'm reinforcing the principle. What you hear the most is what will shape what you believe. And most people believe the news than their leaders are above them. Amen. And if the news is corrupted, if the news is perhaps fear-mongering, that means they're pushing out fear, then you're going to be in fear. Don't matter what the God says. God says, you're healed. Oh, am I? Am I really? Somebody say glory to God. Mark 4:24. And he said to them, be careful what you are hearing. Turn to someone next to you and say, you need to be careful what you're hearing. The measure of thought and study you give to the truth that you hear, now the converse is true, to the lies that you hear, will be the measure of the virtue of knowledge that comes back to you, and more besides will be given to you who hear. That means you got to pay attention to the word. You got to hear the word. Because if your circumstance says you are sick, you are diseased, you got this diagnosis, you got this report, bad report, then you got to go and double up, triple up, and sometimes quadruple up on hearing the word, what the word says. If the word says that by his stripes you were healed, you got to believe by his stripes I am healed more so than what the doctor's report says that you are sick. And remember, faith doesn't come by reading. Romans 10:17 says what? Faith comes by what? Comes by hearing, and hear. That means you got to hear it. That means you either got to be in church where a preacher preaches the word. Amen. Or you got to hear it. We thank God we have the capacity and the capability to record the messages and archive the videos and whatnot. Amen. So why? Because you can go back and hear it. I go back and hear it at least once. Sometimes I go back and hear it twice. Some ministers, I'll hear it. Like one just recently, Faith for Saying by Finances. I needed to get faith for finances. I needed to receive faith for finances. So what did I do? I went back and listened to it 3.5 times, almost 4 times. And then a faith came in my heart. Faith comes by hearing. Faith doesn't come by reading. Faith doesn't come by reading how many and highlighting devotionals. Faith comes by hearing. You have to honor the word of God by making the word of God your first place and final authority. You have to honor the word of God by saturating and submerging yourself in it so that the word dominates your hearing and your viewing. Guys, we got to get our fingers off the remote control and off your cell phone button if it's just watching and surfing the internet or social media. Not all social media is bad. I'm just saying ungodly social media. If you're just watching all the drama and stuff, you're not going to have faith in your heart when you need it. Because you're hearing that more than you're hearing the word. Hallelujah. You want the word to dominate your hearing and viewing much more than the evil or negative report or circumstances. Second point is speaking. Everybody say speaking. Hebrews 11:3. See, by faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God. So that the things which we see, which are seen, are not made of the things which are visible. Somebody say, praise the Lord. So what did God do? He framed the world with his words. What do you have to do with your world? You have to frame your world with your words. If your world is upside down at the moment, if your world is not necessarily in good order at the moment, you have to use your words, my brother, my sister, and frame your world. Hebrews 3:1 says, Wherefore, holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling. Somebody got their phone on, I can hear it. Consider the apostle and high priest of our profession, Christ Jesus. Consider the apostle and high priest of our profession, Christ Jesus. Now, look at this. He said, consider. I'm going to say something about that in just a minute. He said, high priest of your what? Profession or your confession of faith. Hebrews 4:14. Seeing then that we have a great high priest that has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. Hold fast our profession or confession of faith. So what am I saying? These scriptures are saying keep a grip on your lip and don't let it slip. Loose lips will sink your ship. You have what you say. You don't have what other people say. You don't have what your relatives say. You have what you say. Jesus said in Mark 11:23, whosoever shall have whatsoever he saith. Come on now. When you begin to say, your faith is on the way to receive and take it every single day. So you got to say it. You got to say it. You got to say it. What are you saying? Hallelujah. Hebrews 10:23 says it this way. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering. There it is. There's that word again. Without wavering. For he is faithful, that promise. That means he's full of faith to fulfill what he has promised and provided. Faith works every time. Amen. You just got to keep your faith working fully. See, if your faith not talking, it's not working perfectly. our faith must be strong enough to move our mouth before it be ever strong enough to move our mountain. So I said, well, I just like to be private and personal. I don't like to say stuff. No, you got to say it. What are you saying about your sickness that's attacking and afflicting your body? What are you saying about your finances? What are you saying about your relationship? What are you saying about your family? What are you saying about your future? What are you saying about your job, your career? When you begin to say, you're on your way. Amen? You release your faith and go to work with your faith by speaking. What'd you say yesterday? Someone said, what did I say? I just talked about a whole bunch of junk. What'd you say last week? What are you saying in the morning? What are you saying at night? See, we must keep the word of God in our mouths. Or your confession comes from considering him. Hebrews 3:1, we just read. Consider him. That means look to him, study him, meditate on him. Who? Jesus. You got it. Your confession comes from him. What are you studying about him, ladies and gentlemen? You're seeing what he has done, who he is, because you're using his faith. Your faith is in him. Your faith is in his finisher. Your faith is not in your prowess, not in your academia, not in your smartness, not in your human genius. You're limited. But he's unlimited. He's the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Somebody say glory to God. So your confession is saying, I agree with Jesus. If this could not overcome Jesus, it will not overtake and overcome me. See, the Lord not only wants you to say something, he needs you to say something. Because that's how you release your faith. Romans 10:9-10. This is a great confession. That if thou wilt confess, everybody say confess, with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, or you say Jesus is Lord, then shall believe in thine heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Faith, fundamental law of faith is a spiritual law. Faith is God's creative power. Faith is believed in the heart and released by words and corresponding action. You can't compromise your confession of faith and keep your faith or stay in faith. You can't keep your faith full when you compromise through your confession. Oh, you need to write that down. Because your confession of a thing precedes the possession of a thing. Your confession affects the unseen realm. You have what you say. I did a study on it when I was in the military. And Pastor Mark brought it up last week. I thought that was a great example. And in the Battle of Gettysburg, because I had to do a report on it when I was in Combined Arms Service School, out in Fort Leavenworth, Kentucky. We call it Cascade. And so, that was the next school in their development as an officer in the Army. So I had to do a report on Battle of Gettysburg. We had to book, we had to read, and all this other stuff. And one of the key pieces of territory in the Battle of Gettysburg was called Little Round Top. Little Round Top was a hill that overshook all that whole area of battle. In the Battle of Gettysburg. Now, the Battle of Gettysburg was key in the war, Civil War, and it was the Little Round Top was a key piece of territory in that Battle of Gettysburg. Now, Joshua Chamberlain, who was he had 400 volunteers from Maine. He volunteered his group, 400 men, to defend Little Round Top. So they're around there, 400 guys standing up there. And everybody knew, if you take Round Top, you take the whole battle. Strategic piece of land. And so they fought two or three times. People tried to come and take them. and they shooting bullets, and they had bayonets on the end of the rope, and they pushed them back, and Chamberlain would go around. He said, "Stand your ground." What am I saying this morning? Hold to your confession of faith. Stand your ground. Don't lose a grip on your lip and let your faith slip. Anyway, it happened three times. And after the third time, they lost all their bullets and ammo. They had no ammo. And here comes a fourth wave trying to take Little Round Top. And Joshua Chamberlain and his team stood their ground with rifles with no bullets and just a bayonet on the end of it and caused the enemy to surrender. Somebody said, glory to God. We got to remember several things. Let me give you nine things you need to remember. Your confession builds the road over which faith carries its mighty cargo. So if you keep your confession going, your faith is going to bring the cargo or the covenant to your situation. Number two, a spiritual law that few recognize is that our confession rules us. You'll never rise above your confessions. Your confession will rule you. It will dominate you. It will be a fixture in your life. If you can't talk on a new level and speak on a new level, you'll never get to that new level. Number three, faith will never rise above your level of confession. We just talked about that. Number four, God can be no bigger than what you confess him to be. If you never confess that God can heal you of coronavirus, COVID-19, or he can keep you safe from COVID-19, he'll never be big enough. Hallelujah. All right. Oh, my goodness. I don't want to step on anybody's toes, but that's the truth. Number five, many Christians are weak, though sincere, because they've lacked a bold confession of who they are in Christ. Now, we've said this before, and I'll say it again. Everybody should be doing 10 and 10 in the morning. 10 and 10 what, Pastor? What is that? You ought to be thanking God for 10 things, not just personal things, like waking me up this morning, because you don't want to get into a religious rut about it. Wake me up, yes, give me an activity lens. Some people get in a rut routine. But meaningful thanks about what God has done, what God is doing, what God promised in his word that he will do. So you're not only thanking him for the things in the past, the things of the present, but you're thanking him for the things of the future. Everybody say 10 and 10. And then 10 things you need to say, at least 10 scriptures, who you are in Christ. Because remember, Satan's number one crime against Christians is spiritual identity theft. Because if he can knock you in the head and you forget who you are, you're going to act like someone you're not or someone else. So you got to say, come on, y'all. Why are we learning Romans 8? Because there's so many in Christ scriptures in that, you know, therefore there is now no condemnation of them that are in Christ Jesus. Come on now. There's no condemnation in me. I'm in Christ Jesus. I walk not after the flesh, but after the spirit. For the law of the spirit of life in Christ Jesus has set me free from the law of sin and death. Come on now. I'm free from the law of sin and death. My faith-filled words dominate the laws and the spirit of life, spirit of death, in spirit of death, sin, and death, in Jesus' name. You say Ephesians 1:3, I'm blessed with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places in Christ. There's no more blessings available. I got them all because he blessed me with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Come on now. Hallelujah. Ephesians 2:10, I am the workmanship in Christ Jesus. I'm God's own handiwork. He's working in me. He's working on me. He's working through me. He's prepared ahead of time and planned beforehand the good works that I should walk in. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Got to make a bold confession to Christ. Philemon 6 says that the communication of your faith becomes effective through the acknowledgement of every good thing that's in you. Do you ever acknowledge the good things that are in you in Christ? There's 130-something acknowledgments. that you need to make. If you never acknowledge, if you never announce, you'll never activate, you'll never access who you are in Christ and what you possess and what you have in Him. This is stuff your mouth has to do. Your speaker hooked up to your believer, your heart, has to do. Number six, the confession of your lips that has grown out of the out of faith in your heart will absolutely defeat the adversary in every combat. What do you think? There's no such thing as unchallenged faith. And you get into a challenge or a fight, the devil's opposing you somehow, some way. He's putting obstacles in your path. You're going to have to use your mouth. You can't just say, well, I'm just waiting for the Lord to move and do something. No, you got to resist. You got to speak to that mountain. You got to speak to that devil. You got to call those things which be not as though they were. Most people miss having faith, fully functioning, because they don't speak. They just think, I'm just going to stay quiet and reserved. I'm going to look at it humdrum. Number seven, the word will heal you if you continually confess it. So if you're facing a health challenge, some people say, well, I get dizzy or I get headaches. My headache, I got migraine headache. They'd rather talk about what they're feeling instead of what their faith is talking, what the word says that they are. That's why we encourage everybody at the beginning of the year, read your health food devotional. Get your healing scriptures. We even got them on the YouVersion thing. Healing scripture. You should be going through those healing scriptures, taking that healing medicine. Don't just take natural pills. Pills are there to keep you in place so your faith can kick in. The word will heal you if you continue. Number eight, nothing will establish you and build your faith as quickly as confession. So in other words, you can school yourself in faith. You say, Pastor, I don't have faith for that right now. Well, school yourself in faith. Get those scriptures and put them in your mouth. Just like that one lady said, they were going through a challenge, and she cut up scriptures and put it in her husband's coffee. He drunk the coffee and spit. And she said, what is this? He said, you got to get the word in your mouth. You got to get the word in your mouth. You got to get the word in your mouth. Everybody say, you got to get the word in your mouth. Number nine, your success and usefulness to this world is measured by your confession and the tenacity from which you hold fast that confession. You got to have bulldog faith. You got to pin your ears back and hold on, don't let go. Somebody say, glory to God. Number three, as we're closing, renewing the mind. Romans 12:2, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. See, our soul needs to get aligned with an agreement with our spirit to allow transformational power to be released from our spirit. Some of us are walking around with a heart full of faith, but our head is off base. You don't think God can do any more miracles in your life. You don't think God wants to manifest his glory on your behalf. You don't think God's got any more goodness and mercy to express and expand in your life. So you keep your mouth shut, you keep your faith shut down because your head is thinking wrong. Now remember, if you think wrong, you'll believe wrong and you'll talk wrong and act wrong. And things will go wrong. God has already provided everything you ever need in life. But we think, in our head, I gotta have this to happen before I have this. You don't live in the have already area. You live in the I gotta get or I gotta have. I gotta get healed. In the mind of God, you were already healed when Jesus was on the cross. 2,000 years ago, stop trying to get healed. Just be healed. Just be healed. Just be healed. If you're online, just be healed. Be delivered. Be set free. That's when transformational power, the power to overcome the obstacles that to what you believe will occur when your mind is renewed to the word of God and your faith is released. Fourth is doing. James 1:22, but be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. By doing the word, you are giving the word a priority in implementation in your life. In other words, you don't walk out here and say, what am I supposed to do? No, you leave here with the word that you are to do. It's in doing the word that you become recipients, recipients. It's by doing the word you become recipients of all that God has provided and promised. It's doing the word, not hearing, but doing it. Why do you think about it? Why do you take notes about it? Why do you meditate in the notes? Why do you go back over the message so that you can do it? You honor it enough to do it. Somebody say, glory to God. You put time in it to do it, not just to say, I heard it. It's to do it. Fourth is prayer, worship, praise, thanksgiving, praying, praying in the spirit, building yourself up on your most holy faith. You give your proper place to prayer. And lastly is loving. Part of faith's perfect pattern is loving and considering others' best interests. Now listen to me very closely when I say about loving as we close. If you don't have loving, then your motives will be wrong. You only want to get blessed financially so you can have for yourself. The reason why you need to prosper is, one, because you can love more God more and better and love people better in the sense of love's two main manifestations are this, giving and forgiving. Now, most people don't want to give more. They just want to have more. Why do you want to prosper? Why should you prosper? So you can give more. So you can do more. So you can be more for the kingdom. So you can expand the kingdom. You can help bless and benefit the church. You can help be a blessing to other Christians. You can go in the grocery store and slap a $100 bill, Ben Franklin, on somebody. And they go, wow. And you say, glory to God. Hallelujah. That's my Jesus. Hallelujah. See, you show outward care, concern, commitment, and compassion to others in their life. Amen. When you believe, when you're in faith, you should be saying, well, Lord, I just don't want to get out of debt myself. I want to help the church with its debts. I want to pay somebody else's car note. I want to pay somebody else's house note. I want to write out somebody else's church building or write out somebody else's house note. You stop being narrow-minded and self-centered and start thinking about others. Praise God. Hallelujah. Come on, stand to your feet right now. Just begin to thank God. Hallelujah. Thank you.